And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, I'm talking about this one. I mean this one, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, real quickly, I'll take a few more text messages and jump into the Dipper. The phone number here is 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it or call it. Same number for both. Brian from Huntsville says, Monty Python. Oh, he said, cleaning up the voter rolls. Monty Python, bring out your dead. That's what it is. Bring out your dead. Clear your voter rolls. Molly from Huntsville chimed in, says, Fortress, Alabama, not only do I love it, we need it. Praying that our representative legislators get on board. Yes, indeed. I think it's a thing. I mean, you know what? I think I need to have bumper stickers made with this. Fortress Alabama. Ken from Harvest says, kudos to the Alabama Secretary of State and the Attorney General. Too bad the governor doesn't provide similar leadership. You know, I don't know what to say to that, except that it's as if, I mean, Kay Ivey has had some surely decent days, and I know I've been with her on some of them. But she is not a leader right now. She's more of a good follower, governor. And even then, we have to wait and watch for her appearance. And it's, I think it's gotten to the point though that it's time for the move on. It really is. There are names being talked about as to who's going to run for governor right now. I'll just throw them out there. One of them is going to be potentially Attorney General Steve Marshall. Another one's going to be Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth. Another one is potentially going to be Agriculture Secretary Rick Pate. We have some you know, names out there that are definitely good dudes and qualified for the job. I want somebody who's going to come in there and lead. I mean, and by the way, it's three branches of government. In state government, it winds up being more on the governor than you might see in D.C. where Congress could. And now, truthfully, I've been down there before where we bucked the governor. We just did. More than once, I saw the governor send something over and we just said no. Or the governor would ask for it to go a certain way and we would not feel inclined to do that. Or the governor would ask for funding for a thing and we would just say no to that, but yes to this. I've also seen the governor veto or pocket veto or line item veto certain things that came his way from the legislature, separate branches of government. But in state government, a governor can truly make a difference, especially when that governor has the will and, oh, by the way, the mandate to get it done. We've had some good governors here, although we've also had some real duds. But I look south. I can see what's happening right now with the governor of Florida, and Ron DeSantis is a national leader from the governor's mansion or governor's office in Florida. And I am not ashamed to say, I want that in the state of Alabama. I want to know for a fact that whatever state God has me hang my hat in, whatever state that I go to sleep at night in, I want there to be a governor who is fired up for the people on conservative, godly principles and will take stands and will pick fights and will be a God-fearing gunslinger. That's what I want. I want a God-fearing gunslinger in the governor's mansion. It's not too much to ask. And in today's day and age, that's the kind of thing you have to build Fortress Alabama. You have to have a legislature that feels willing. You have to have a governor that is willing to take stands. And you have to have a court system that will uphold the laws and an attorney general that will fight the fights. I'm saying it's an all of government. It's a fortress. And we got to have it. And we got to have a people, by the way, that'll get their back on it. Wow, that was a mini diatribe. John from Harvest says, I'm glad Alabama's leading the way in voter integrity. Something I'm very worried about this election cycle is bloated voter rolls in swing states with people who have moved, are deceased, or are non-citizens, which allows mail-in ballots to be generated. Exactly. In states with little to no validation procedures in place, it is too easy for these ballots to get harvested and counted. And by the way, John, good point. And later in the show, when I talk about election integrity in more detail, I'll touch on a story that just came out of Pennsylvania. The state of Pennsylvania was not only allowing your ballot to be sent in incorrectly, but then you would be allowed to come in and cure the problem. Meaning, if you didn't do it right the first time, you could come in and still have more time to fix it, which is like sort of like casting your vote twice. And the courts came back and said, that is contrary to your state laws, and no, you will not do that. So we just won that victory in the last 24 hours, I believe. Chris from Madison says, hey, Phil, you know who would make a good governor? Have you thought about it? Oh, no. I am content right now, brother, and don't wish that on me. I am content to hold feet to the fire and to be the clarion call right now. But thank you very much. All right, listen, let me jump on in here. In other news, when I say that, what I'm saying is it has been so easy for me to focus on the Harris campaign, right? Focus on the Trump shooting, focus on the RNC and now the DNC. And they become like these giant themes that run and they can take over the whole show. But things happen one-offs sometimes that you look at and go, dang, that's a big story. We gotta talk about that. But it's not like it's an entire dipper by itself. I had enough of those where I thought, you know what? I'm just going to call it In Other News, like this one. Story on the Daily Signal came out just a few days ago. Today's the 21st. This came out on the 16th, so we're about 5 days removed. But in case you didn't hear, the Biden administration got it handed to him on its whole Title IX rewrite. Remember this, Title IX put in place in, 1972, I think, Title IX of the Education Amendments. It basically was designed to protect and preserve female rights, women's rights, girls, in things like education processes and available assets that might be just for them. You can't build great locker rooms for the boys' sports and then have trashy little, shared stalls and dinky locker rooms for the girls. You got to have equal access to good facilities. You got to have equal access to assets and resources all the way around. Well, Biden and his Department of Education, came out just in the last few months and said, no, what we're going to do? We're going to go ahead and say that we are just interpreting Title IX to mean that includes transgenders. What? Yeah, your gender identity is enough. What that basically means is transgender rights are suddenly on par with women's rights. It's a complete abdication of what Title IX was there for. For years, there has been a fight to make sure that girls and women had equal access, and now we're allowed to say, according to Biden, yeah, you know what? If you're a dude that thinks you're a chick, it's okay. We'll just go ahead and go with it. Ain't no thing. Get on in that locker room. Do what you want to do. Oh, you're a sprinter and you want to outrun the girls because you suck at running against the boys? Sure, why not? Just grow your hair and come on over. I mean, it's absolutely asinine. It's like watching that movie we talked about yesterday, Idiocracy. But here's the thing. They just got it handed to them in court. Supreme Court on Friday, according to the Daily Signal, upheld two lower court temporary injunctions blocking President Joe Biden's rule applying federal civil rights law to transgender issues in education, including school bathrooms and women's sports. So Tennessee and Louisiana both have a lawsuit, or were leading lawsuits, against the Education Department. See, this is that state firewall. This is an example. We've got states out there where Alabama is the lead plaintiff, but in these cases, Tennessee and Louisiana have been lead plaintiffs fighting Secretary Miguel Cardona, the liberal hack who used to work for the teachers union, who is now the Secretary of Education. Good gosh. Fox guarding the hen house. Well, lower courts blocked the implementation of the Title IX rewrite. Whoop, whoop. That's a big deal. Immediate appeal by the Biden administration. They are not sitting still. Not only are they saying we'd like to do this, they're saying they're willing to fight for it. Okay. The Supreme Court of the United States rejected their appeal. That's a major win. What that means is the law is not being implemented. Now, the question I have, and I may clarify this with the Attorney General here in a little while, but the question I have is this every state or just the plaintiff states? There are times when a case is filed and only those parties in interest or the states in interest, this case, are the ones who wind up receiving the benefit of the ruling. Every once in a while, it's on behalf of all, and sometimes it's only on behalf of those involved. I believe this one may not be for all, but it certainly is a win. So that being said, in other news, just know this. We're winning the fight right now legally. It's an absolute slap in the face as they come down to the towards the end of the Biden administration that major policy changes like this are getting smacked around by the courts. And Trump needs to grab hold of this and make it a campaign issue. All right. Next, in other news, I'll just briefly mention this. So I mentioned a while ago that Secretary of State Wes Allen is leading on the issue of purging voter rolls and of checking for voter integrity or election integrity issues. He is known nationally now. He has gone up and testified before Congress. Our Alabama Secretary of State gone up and testified before Congress. He also, oh, by the way, just made it into a national publication, The Federalist. Some of y'all out there are, you know, subscribers to The Federalist has an article that came out just a couple of days ago. Secretary of State Wes Allen from Alabama has discovered that the Federal Bureau of Prisons has been helping to register federal prisoners in Alabama to vote. Huh? Yes. In an effort to do what they call enforcing the executive order on promoting access to voting, which Biden signed in 2021, there are third-party liberal interest groups that are allowed into federal prisons in Alabama to sign people up to vote. The question is, how are they doing this? Because many of those involved are guilty of what the law calls a crime of moral turpitude that would otherwise disqualify them from voting. So is the Biden administration signing people up willy-nilly and then letting the Secretary of State just figure it out later? That's what the sense is. Secretary Allen said it's an attempt to mobilize and weaponize the entire federal government to register primarily Democrat-leaning groups of voters to include those coming out of prison. I mean, this is, you look at it and go, come on, y'all. At least try to pretend you care about the law. You're just going to go ahead and reimagine Title IX, and then you're going to send liberal interest groups into our prisons to register felons to vote when you know the law says you can't do that. That's what we're dealing with, and that's why, again, Fortress Alabama is a big deal. All right, listen, we're taking a break right now. We'll take that break. We'll come right back, and I got to tell you, man, there's another victory. Harley Davidson backing off a little on the woke. That's a good one. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Hey, don't forget, coming up top of the hour, Attorney General Steve Marshall will be on the air with us. We'll talk to him a little bit about the concept of Fortress Alabama. And then we'll also, oh, by the way, get his thoughts on some things that have just occurred in the law, to include the fact that he just busted some illegal gaming operations in Selma. And by the way, let me remind you guys, too, the latest edition of the Right Philosophy video podcast is out today. Check on rightsidemedia.org, our website. Go to it, and you'll find all of our stuff. I mean, everything about the show is on there, and all the other things that we do. It's Right Side Media is the name of the company. We do more than just the radio show. But the Right Philosophy video podcast, fresh out today. They come out every week. And then on Friday, there's another one coming out called Right Click that'll be out, on Friday. All right, in other news, this is a win right here. This is a win. So, story here that I picked up from the New York Post. You may recall hearing that just like what in the last month, there have been two major companies, Tractor Supply and John Deere. I mean, try to find something more American than Tractor Supply and John Deere. I guess I could go ahead and say Ford Motor Company, you know, a couple others. Things that you look at and go, that's a uniquely American brand. And Tractor Supply and John Deere had both gotten so far into the DEI and wokeness and ESG investing and, you know, virtue signaling crap that that it finally got called out. So much so that they had immediate backlash from their loyal base of consumers. I mean, John Deere, know your audience, y'all. Tractor Supply, know your audience. Well, they issued their own mea culpas. They have now apologized. They have totally recanted, those two companies. They're like, wow. Well, that was in part because of a guy named Robbie Starbuck, who is an online influencer. Starbuck has taken it on as a mission to seek out wokeness in corporate America, expose it, and then demand change. And right now, He's batting 1,000. So Tractor Supply and John Deere, both because of Robbie Starbuck. Here's another one. Harley Davidson. If that's not an American brand, I don't know what is. I mean, riding a hog, right? I mean, Freedom Riders. Come on. I mean, this is uniquely American as it gets. And yet, a few years back, Harley Davidson hired a German guy, and I forgot his name off the top of my head, to come in and be the new CEO of the company. And dang, if he didn't do everything he could to try and take it down a woke road, and he did. So much so that that has been the newest target by Robbie Starbuck and those that are trying to call for corporate America to wake up. Well, we have another mea culpa. Story here on the New York Post, Harley Davidson released a statement Monday now renouncing its DEI and other controversial company initiatives in the wake of social media outrage and withering pressure from longtime loyal bikers. I mean, at Sturgis recently, Harley, which should be really like the cornerstone of Sturgis. I mean, it's like if there's a booth set up, if there's a row of bikes lined up that are worth stopping to look at, if there are people enjoying their time, if there's a sound you hear in the distance, it's going to all be related to Harley. It was like a desert for Harley. Nobody wanted to hang out with them. Their booths were largely empty. People are disgusted. They're seeing a drop in sales values. But they've now issued, because of this, they've now issued their apologies. Here's their quote. It is critical to our business that we hire and retain the best talent and that all employees feel welcome. That said, we have not operated a DEI function since April 2024, and we do not have a DEI function today. We do not have hiring quotas, and we no longer have supplier diversity spend goals. They did. And we no longer... Okay, so we don't do these things anymore. By the way, April 2024 ain't that long ago, y'all. And to say they no longer have supplier diversity spend goals, you know what that means? They were mandating that their suppliers had to have diversity quotas. If you want to supply gas tanks to Harley, if you want to supply electrical wiring to Harley, if you want to supply tires to Harley, you got to meet our diversity spend goals. What? It's unreal. The statement also said Harley Davidson was reassessing employee training. Reassessing employee training. Are you now? And refocusing on its most loyal customers. Well, good for you. Because you know what? Harley's a brand that, like I said, is uniquely American. It has a loyal following. And people have felt betrayed by this. It's not just a question of consumer confidence. People have felt betrayed by this. Harley says they're backing off of it. Some folks are a little skeptical. End result, they're saying, well, we'll see what happens. But yeah, this exploded in July when Robbie Starbuck called him out. And now in August, Harley is issuing its written statement saying, we're sorry. We didn't really mean it. We want you all back, please, because they know they don't have a future. It's like me having a radio show with no listeners. Why? Why would I do it? The truth is, what good is Harley without riders? Without people who are buying their products and, you know, wearing their insignia on their leathers? I mean, the reality is this. Corporate America has got to remember where it came from. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming up right off the top of the hour here, we're going to have the Attorney General Steve Marshall on the line with us. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here, safely ensconced in a remote bunker for the Remobile Right Side Studio. But man, we still got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on Hump Day. We're going to take you all the way to the weekend. And, you know, earlier in the show, if you heard my monologue, today, knowing the AG was coming on, I was somewhat inspired. My monologue was called Fortress Alabama. The very idea that we as a state can have a 10th Amendment wall built around our state. And I don't mean like we isolate, we don't want to participate. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the overreaches we see from D.C. are sometimes best left to the 10th Amendment, the people of the state of Alabama, the politicians that we elect, including the Attorney General, to fight fights for us so that we have a fortress within which we can feel secure and safe from the overreach from feds. Anyway, that being said, on the line with us right now is Attorney General Steve Marshall, who is ably serving the state of Alabama. He's previously been a prosecutor for 16 years as a district attorney in Marshall County. law school at Alabama, and doing a great job fighting fights on both the state and national level. Attorney General Steve Marshall, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Hey, I like the fact that me coming on inspired you to talk about the 10th Amendment, right? I mean, the idea that we get to protect Alabama's sovereignty and that we believe that what the framers decided about limited powers within the federal government and allowing the states to be able to operate kind of as that true bastion of what government should be about. And yet, this administration doesn't always want to allow us to do that.
No, it doesn't. And I tell you what I've enjoyed, though, is watching you and other Republican attorneys general go at it. Because I think a lot of people think that your job is to just prosecute crime here in the state. Make sure that, you know, fraud doesn't happen and, you know, that gambling is shut down, all of which is important, or that settlements are negotiated on behalf of the state. But you're actually out there picking fights on behalf of the state to make sure that things don't get here sometimes to protect our interests, correct?
No, it is. And in fact, you know, I mean, Phil, it's hard to believe I've been in this job almost 8 years now. So, I mean, there's no doubt that, you know, we describe it as practicing law because we're better at it over time. And I think, you know, the thing that I've appreciated the most about being in this role is truly the opportunity to have an influence in ways that I didn't really probably appreciate or even understand when I got here. But there's no doubt, you know, when I came in the door back in February of 2017, did I somehow or other think that I'd be fighting over who's a boy and who's a girl? I mean, you know, it's like I thought that was pretty settled and never believed that we'd be able to do that. And it's unique. And I'm going to have to go back and listen to your monologue. But one of the things that I think is an important point for us in the state and when we look at the way that we conduct state government is that 10th Amendment is a wonderful tool for us to be able to use to be able to push back against federal overreach. But here's the federal government's key to unlock that door is that when they have the power of the purse string and they're giving money to the states, you then become obligated to some extent to implement the rules that they have with regards to the use of that money. It's how we got into the national COVID vaccine fight. You know, they used federal contractors as the linchpin to be able to do it. They used the ability of OSHA to regulate certain workplaces to be able to do it. And now we're seeing, particularly with Title IX, but there's other areas as well, the effort to push this radical gender ideology is tied to federal money that's coming in. And, you know, people, you know, remember the conservative commentator William Buckley well. Yeah, they don't always think about his brother James, who was a federal judge who wrote a book. And one of the things that in Judge Buckley's book is he said that by accepting federal money, we allow Congress to dabble in areas that the Constitution otherwise prohibits. And I think that's something for our legislators in Montgomery and for our administrative heads to always remember is that there is no such thing as free money from Washington, and we have to be mindful of that.
Yeah, my daughter, and I think you've met her, my daughter did an internship way before I was ever on the staff at the Alabama Policy Institute. She was actually an intern there, and she did an entire project where she tracked every federal dollar that could be tracked that came into the state of Alabama, and the notebook she had to keep it all in was about 8 inches thick. I mean, it was huge.
People
have no idea how much money comes in from the Fed.
Yeah, you know, when you take, for example, one of the fights that we've had around gender ideology recently was, you know, the Department of Agriculture administers the school lunch program so that we want to make sure that if there are kids that need appropriate nutrition that for financial reasons aren't able to afford meals at school, that they're going to have an opportunity to be able to do it. And so what we saw, and this has been a little over a year ago now, is the Department of Ag wanted to change the regulations that came tied with that money to change the definition of sex to include gender identity and sexual orientation. You know, very different than what we've seen historically, very different than what Alabama law would specifically provide and would have opened Pandora's box. And it wasn't, by the way, saying that you can't discriminate against a child if they claim to be transgender. Nobody was doing that. We were feeding kids. Every state was going to feed kids. This was broadening for the plaintiff's bar and others to use this as a discrimination action against school systems and other institutions consistent with what Washington wanted. And we pushed back along with some other states, and the Department of Agriculture retracted that rule, but yet it's still part of this sort of whole-of-government approach of the Biden administration to use everything at their disposal and their power to enforce their own ideology. And by the way, did you not find it absolutely comical? And I don't even know the speaker's name at the Democratic National Convention, who was accusing Trump if he came into office that he would weaponize the DOJ against his political opponents.
Yeah, I did. Yes.
Sure sounded pretty familiar to me, right? I mean, it's like, holy cow, you really want to bring that up?
Yeah, pot, meat, kettle, please.
Absolutely.
By the way, I hadn't even thought about this until just now, but it occurs to me, here I am talking to the AG for Alabama, but the person who is running on the Democrat ticket now to be president was a former attorney general herself. And I imagine she had a much different view of the world and of how to handle the job of AG from California, Kamala Harris.
Oh, there is no doubt. You know, she and I just missed each other as far as overlapping, although the head of Health and Human Services, Avi Rosera, was the AG when I was there. And let's just say that I did not necessarily sing from the same hymnal. I will tell you that.
Well, listen, before we run out of time, I want to talk about a couple of victories, one outside the state and one inside. You've been real involved in the fight to preserve Title IX. You referenced it a moment ago. And we just had a major court decision that came out, I think it was Fifth Circuit, just in the last few days. And I had a question for you on that. Is Alabama included, or is that state specific as to that the plaintiff states in the case? What do you know about that?
Well, the good thing is that we are, we've won within the 11th Circuit to get an administrative stay that has held this new Title IX rule in abeyance. And again, for your listeners, this would change the definition of sex to include gender identity and sexual orientation, which means opens the door of the female locker rooms to men, would change the law that Alabama passed that said boys compete against boys and girls compete against girls. But also it would extend a certain First Amendment protection so that they could argue that if, for example, a teacher or the administrator had a tweet in which they were endorsing Christian principles about what creation truly means and gender being what God created you as, that could become an argument to be able to use Title IX against them. And so, you know, we pushed back, 26 states have pushed back, and right now every one of those states has prevailed. In fact, it was a U.S. Supreme Court case that came out last week that maintained the injunctions in place in those circuits. But Phil, one of the interesting things here, and not to get too nerdy on the law that you and I could do as lawyers, but you've also had nonprofits participate in those cases, including Moms for Liberty, for example. And
yes,
so by them being a plaintiff in a case out of Kansas, they've been able to obtain relief for many institutions in blue states, because one of the things the courts have said is if you've got a Moms for Liberty chapter or two other organizations that are also plaintiffs in those states, that those institutions likewise are not going to be able to implement the unlawful Biden rule. And I think that's actually been a really interesting development, that not just Republican attorneys general here, but also to have conservative groups that have been able to have an impact. You know, the Dems have been using that playbook for a while. We've been able to use it here effectively. And I commend, again, you know, we've got Moms for Liberty chapters in Alabama, because that's been a nice tool. So I think it's over 2,000 institutions across the country are just impacted in a positive way from them alone. But look, we've got still a ways to go in the fight, but we're proud of the fact that courts have acknowledged that the Biden administration has simply gone too far, because I can guarantee you when this bill passed with bipartisan support in 1972 to create greater opportunities educationally for women, nobody believed that there was anything other than a male and a female as God created you is what your sex was.
Yeah.
And nobody believed that that was a bill passed to be able to open up locker rooms and sports to those who suddenly identified with the other gender.
Yeah, suddenly legislative intent gets called in, doesn't it? I mean, 1972, they didn't even...
This thought was not
on anybody's mind.
Look, it wasn't even discussed because nobody believed that to be the case.
Well, and I to reference your point about Moms for Liberty, you talk about a recruiting drive. I mean, they just opened the door for basically a greatest recruiting drive, you know, in the history of the recruiting drive world.
Yeah, I think they have expanded their presence all over the country for sure.
Hey, listen, Mr. Attorney General, if you don't mind, what I'd love to do is if would you mind holding through a break? I want to come back and talk to you about the most recent bust of some illegal facilities down in Selma and get that on the record, too, if you don't mind.
Yeah, happy to hang around.
Okay, we're going to hang on. We're going to go to a break. Big Rig, take us to a break, brother. We'll do that right now. We're with Attorney General Steve Marshall, the capable Attorney General for the state of Alabama. But we will take a break right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Just plain right. Just saving the world one soundbite at a time. All right. Hey, listen, we're going right back to the phones. Attorney General Steve Marshall has been on with us. Mr. Attorney General, I want to turn to the inter of the state, like right things that are happening here, because you do actually bust bad guys. You guys has had a press release came out, caught my attention with all the news about gaming in the last year or so with the busting of five facilities down in the Selma, Dallas County area. Tell us what happened there.
Yeah, local complaints about the opening of facilities that just simply had what everybody would recognize as slot machines, which is clearly illegal in the state of Alabama. There's no doubt about that. And involved an investigation along with the local sheriff's department, and sheriff there did a great job in being able to assist. And so earlier this week, we shut down six separate facilities, over 200 machines that were located there, a couple of arrests. You know, it won't surprise you that one of the people leading one of those groups was a prior convicted felon who also went to jail that day. And so we will have hearings next week to be able to get the permanent orders to be able to close those facilities. But, you know, I feel like it goes back again to this idea, you know, we're there to be able to assist and to be able to help. But when local individuals or local law enforcement is able to act and act aggressively, you know, we're able to shut these things down. And so we were very grateful for the assistance of the local sheriff and being able to do that. Aaliyah provided support for us as well to be able to conduct the operation. But this is just one that we've been involved with many and actually still engaged in litigation in multiple places across the state.
Well, and so I'm going to say something. You can choose to chime in on it if you so desire. But, you know, one of the arguments being made last year about gaming was it's happening illegally, so we got to legalize it so that we can do something about it. And my argument has been, how about if we just enforce the existing laws that are already on the books? If it's illegal, it's still illegal. You just proved that illegal gaming can be dealt with directly with both state and local law enforcement.
It can. And Phil, one thing that I would tell you the legislature can do, and I think you and I both would welcome, let's make it a felony. Because right now, you have some that just believe, gosh, it's a misdemeanor, it's just the cost of doing business.
Let's make it
a felony offense so that we have the ability to create a disincentive for doing it. And I can give you multiple examples where we've had those that were a part of this illegal activity simply say, look, you know, we didn't think the punishment was something that deterred us from being able to do it. We welcome the legislature weighing in to be able to provide that additional tool to establish that, in fact, these are serious and significant violations of not only the law of Alabama, but of the policy of our state, and then allow people to be able to do their job. So welcome them being able to do that.
Well, and y'all just seized 200 machines. I mean, this is not a small operation. This is a series of organizations, and maybe they're interlocked. I don't know. But 200 machines is not like you got a couple in the back room of the convenience store. This is a major effort to violate Alabama's laws willfully, and it's a misdemeanor. That just boggles my mind.
No, it is. You know, interestingly, we were in another county not far from there recently working an operation. And what was interesting about that is that one of the places that we seized machines from, we had one of the operators tell us about how a local mother had come in there, complained about what was going on, because she said, hey, we got child support that ought to be going to kids that are going into those machines. You need to take them out. That's some of the things that you and I have talked about previously why this is such a bad thing.
Yeah. Hey, listen, with about a minute and a half left before we run out of time, I wanted to point out something I saw in your bio, and you and I may have talked about this in the past, but you were instrumental as a very pro-life district attorney and now attorney general. You were instrumental in what is known as the Brody Act, which came out of your county, Marshall County, which now basically makes a double homicide out of the murder of a pregnant woman. It protects the life in the womb by making it a murder to murder the woman who was pregnant at the time. And I wanted you to know that the family of the young lady that was all a part of and named after were actually my clients, and I dealt with their civil stuff while you dealt with it from the Brodiac side. So I really, really appreciate
Roger Parker
your role in that.
Yeah, Roger was such a powerful advocate on behalf of Brody. He lost, and then obviously his sweet daughter. And, you know, to the extent that we embrace Romans 8:28, right, that from the worst, we know that God can create good, Roger was able to create a legacy for them because of the frustration that he had and others had that would have only been one murder and not two. And we both know that it was there. So wonderful family, again, grieve for their loss, but they were powerful advocates in changing law the right way.
They were. And I'm glad you were in the position to do something about it. And then I think you even actually defended it. Once you became AG, the law you helped get passed, you got to go defend before the Supreme Court. Am I right?
Oh, actually, I tried the first case, put a guy on death row for killing his pregnant wife, and then went to the Supreme Court to defend the law. So I've been with it from the duration, and so we were glad to be able to get vindicated there. So that was good. Hey, by the way, I'm looking forward to being up in studio. I think we're going to be there sometime in October, so it'd be good to be back up your
way
a little
bit. We'll make it happen. All right, Mr. Attorney General, thanks for your time today. Appreciate you staying long with us, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, listen, that was Alabama's Attorney General, and I hope you gathered that was a broad-ranging. He is all for the idea of Alabama being the fortress that I talked about, using that 10th Amendment. He's like, basically, he grabbed hold of that. But then on top of that, you got the fact that he's a pro-life advocate. He's been out there fighting crime in the state. I mean, so end result is, me personally, I'm pretty satisfied with where our Attorney General's office is right now. All right, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. Y'all, I'm talking about Alabama. Man, this show goes way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, let me pause here real quickly and just remind you guys, Inspire Advisors is one of our advertisers. Inspire Advisors, they are so cool at what they do. So you are an audience. I know this audience. You guys are an amazing group of people who stand up for the things you believe in. And a lot of you out there are also doing everything you can right now to set aside for your future, investing, doing what it takes, and, you know, get your portfolio. And you may be shocked to find out, though, that there's things in your investments that do not support what you say you believe in. Cry and shame, but it's true. I mean, you may be investing accidentally in companies that support abortion or pornography or otherwise. So all that to say, Inspire Advisors, they are experts. Paul Breyer and his team at Inspire Advisors are experts at what is known as biblically responsible investing, BRI. It's a thing. They can literally raise your bottom line while also making you proud of what you're investing in. If you want to know more about this, and I highly recommend you check it out, because what I'm about to tell you is free. They will meet with you in person for free and give you a look at what's in your portfolio, reveal some things to you, show you where some biblically aligned alternatives are. All you got to do, go to their website and set it up. www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's Inspire Advisors at moneypatternwealth.com. Or you can just go to our website, too easy, rightsidemedia.org. That's rightsidemedia.org. Click on the sponsors, Right Side Radio sponsors tab. Go to their logo. It takes you right to their website. Bottom line is this, you guys. Inspire Advisors. It is inspiring. It is godly. It's conservative. It's like financial freedom. So check them out. Inspire Advisors. Tell them I sent you. All right, listen, I got to take some text messages. You guys are amazing. So the texts are just flowing in right now. Let me see what all we got here. Blonde in Bama from Lawrence County says, Phil, just heard your comment about the special interest groups trying to register prisoners inside the state prison system. I was talking with a friend this past weekend who works in a prison. He's a warden. He's worked for the Alabama Department of Corrections for 50 years. He had one of these guys come to his prison and he kicked him out. And now a personnel action has been filed against him. He said he's worked in the system for 50 years. It's the first time any sort of action's ever been filed against him. Man, I hate to hear that. I tell you what, Blonde Alabama, I would love to talk to your friend if he wants to talk or if he would like to just even talk offline. You connect him and we will follow up on that. But that's unconscionable. The part I was talking about are the federal prisons, because we do have federal prisons. There's one in, where is it, Talladega County? And there's another one down in Montgomery. I was talking federal, but still, even if they're showing up at the door of the Alabama Department of Corrections, that's just, listen, put him in touch with us. We'd love to hear more. Brand new texter who did not tell us where they're from. Big Rig, check them out and try to collect who they are and where they're from. Says John Deere already had a layoff and they're looking for another one in September. Okay. Listen, the bottom line is they're probably having layoffs in part because of the Biden economy and also in part because their woke policies are driving away people. Just saying. Bruce from Springville says, dealing with woke companies, the old saying is money talks and BS walks. Nice. Brian from Huntsville says, DEI to Harley means dead end is imminent. Oh, nice. Yeah. Dorothy from Elkmont says, what can be done about the Haitian migrants being forced on us in a government program? No city or state funding, but it will put a strain on school and medical services. We don't need our taxes raised to support this, and we don't want federal money to kowtow to. No sanctuary, anything here. Yeah, sanctuary, by the way, sanctuary means you're agreeing to it and even inviting it. So we're not a sanctuary. Don't worry about that. If they're here legally, there's not much we can do. If they came in a legal capacity, but if they're illegal migrants or if they're part of some massive program where the Biden administration is giving what's known as parole and just flooding them and then busing them into our communities, that's got to go. And there's some great stories on 1819news.com about this very thing. I'll be following up on this in the next couple of days. This is going to be a topic we'll talk about. But right now in both Athens and Albertville, or Boaz, we're seeing a major influx by bus of Haitian migrants. Now, one of those came through, just so you know, Dorothy, went into buses that were being brought to, I think it was Wayne Farms, a chicken processing company, poultry farming and all, in Boaz, in Albertville area. And the company has put a stop to that. The fact that it was happening at all, though, is concerning. But there have been some pretty animated citizen meetings here of late. What else we got? Brand spanking new. Oh, that new texter has now let us know that is Red and Coleman. So, yeah, Big Rig, fill them in, man. Red and Coleman. We're glad you're part of the system. Thank you for joining the thousands in our text lines and being a right side ruffian. John from Huntsville just texted in and says, Phil, did you hear that Tim Walz is now under fire for some comments he made about IVF? I did. He's a knucklehead. I mean, he can't help himself, apparently. He is constantly saying stuff that you look at and go, dude, how about just walking the truth for a little bit? But he always, listen, and I see this, it's a disease among politicians to embellish. It's they need to identify. They have this constant need to. Part of it is not being secure in who you are. And this concerns me. You're looking at a guy right now who wants to be the vice president of the United States of America, who would be one heartbeat away from being the commander in chief, who will make policy and do things that affects all of us. And yet what we're seeing right now is that he is so insecure in himself, and it's obvious, that he is constantly making claims about himself that aren't true in the hopes that people will think better of him. Don't you like me more? If I say this about myself, will you like me more? I have children by IVF. No, he didn't. I carried weapons of war in a war zone. No, he didn't. I retired as a command sergeant major. No, he didn't. It's just kind of sick, really. But he wants to be the vice president of the United States of America. And he's already a governor, for God's sake. I mean, did the people of Minnesota not... Now, keep in mind, Minnesota's been a liberal bastion since the 70s. But we do not have to accept that on a national basis. We just don't. Jay from Legtown just checked in. He says, boycott chicken. No, I don't want boycott chicken. By the way, did you know, I discovered this years ago when I was in state senate. I did some things to help bring a brand new program to the community college in my area. I helped forge a partnership between Auburn University's agriculture department and Gadsden State Community College's Cherokee County campus. Okay, it was very cool. I wanted to see if we could get a thing in place where kids in rural counties, and in my case, it was Cherokee County, if kids in rural counties could work the family farm and go to get the first 2 years of a four-year ag degree at the local level. And so we did. So Auburn set up satellite, you know, classes. And it was, this was an idea that I had sitting in my office one day. And there are moments when you're in office, you go, God, I got to be a part of that. That was cool. This was one of them. I'm sitting in my Senate office in Montgomery, and I'm meeting with President Googe, who was the president of Auburn at the time. And we're going over some budget things, and I forget what. But we're having a great meeting, and he's about to leave, and I said, President Googe, can I ask you a question? And he said, sure. I said, I want to ask you if you've ever seen the Gadsden State Community College facilities in Cherokee. He goes, I don't know that I have. I said, they're amazing, they're stellar, and they're also completely underutilized. He goes, okay. I said, I need to know if you would be interested in ever having a discussion about opening up, like I said, a two-year ag, precursor to the four-year degree at Auburn through Gadsden State. And, you know, my first thought was, I'm saying it. He's probably going to go, well, thank you for your time, Senator, but I need to go. No, he looked at me and goes, I would be very interested in that. Next thing I know, we're having meetings. Y'all, this is one of those things where you see stuff and it goes viral. Next thing I know, we're having meetings, man. We're laying plans out. We're talking about state funding. I'm getting things written into the budget so that we could try this out. And boom, daggum, if we didn't wind up creating, because poultry is huge in Cherokee County, if we didn't have a poultry science program, the first 2 years of a poultry science degree from Auburn starting at Cherokee County, and kids are locally getting involved. I got a chance to go to the inaugural where the first kid finished up the 2 years and went on to Auburn to finish their degree. And they might not have been able to do it if they couldn't have started at home. But here's the thing. I had no idea. Did you know that poultry science, that the poultry ag industry in Alabama is a $1 billion industry? Literally. That kids who come out of poultry science programs at Auburn, they have an average of something like 8 different jobs asking for them, like jobs lining up, starting at 67 to 70,000 a year to start, and they got their pick of jobs. All said and done, I don't fault Wayne Farms in Boaz and Marshall County area for needing workers, because this is a huge industry. It means a lot to our state, but you cannot bus in illegals. Cannot happen. I don't know if they were truly illegal, but it definitely raised the ire of the locals to see buses of migrants being brought in. And you look at it and go, hang on a second. Do we have any unemployed citizens around here, like actual citizens? And the argument that I hear from libs is, well, Americans won't do those jobs. Bull crap. Americans have always done those jobs. I'm on a rant right now, but so basically, Jay from Legtown and Dorothy from Elkmont got me fired up. But years ago, and one of the things we also did when I was in the Senate is we passed one of the first in the nation state-level illegal immigration bills. And man, we went through it. It was one of the most protested things I saw in my 8 years in office. We had protesters in the hallways yelling at us and, you know, locking arms to keep us from going down the hall to vote. And you know, it was just madness. Security had to be called in. I'm getting elbowed in the ribs while I'm trying to get past them in the hallways. It was just nuts. And we passed that thing. And a lot of it got fought. And it was before we had a court system that I could really rely on. And some of it got overturned. I get it. But you know what? Don't fault me for trying. But one of the things that we dealt with was the idea that apparently they'll say Americans won't do those jobs. Guess what? We passed that bill, and the next day, something like 25% of the workforce at one of the chicken processing plants in Marshall County didn't show up for work the next day because they were scared. And guess what they did? They held a job fair, and the line was out the door of people wanting jobs. Yeah, they can hire people. They can. Americans will do that work. You don't have to bus them in. That's my saying. All right, there's like a 10-minute diatribe that nobody planned for, but that's all real life right there. No lie, I was there, knee deep in it, and it works. All right, listen, we're gonna take a break right now. We'll come right back, and then we'll get this hour wrapped up and head to the Grand Council at the top of the hour. Bill Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be Right back. Coming up top of the hour, don't forget Grand Council with Dale Jackson and Jeff Poor. We will be doing that, as always, on Mondays in our 4 o'clock segment. A couple of text messages real quick. Navy Phil from Athens. Navy Phil says, according to a local TV reporter, it was a refugee program started by Obama. Trump stopped it. Biden re-implemented it. Okay. I think it was also, there's been a great deal of hanky-panky being played with that program, just basically just flying people out of their country and bringing them here. And like you look at it and go, and doing what? Just dropping them in and saying good luck? But yeah. Jay from Legtown just squaring up on me. Says, easy, Phil. I love chicken. Okay, good. Dorothy from Elkmont again says, Massachusetts is doing mass deportations. The Boston mayor says no more room. The blue state became sanctuary in 2017. They have a lot of Haitians that came over the Canadian border. One of them raped a girl. I get it, man. It's a mess. Mike from Coxie, Alabama says, wait a minute. Tim Walz is embellishing and lying about stuff he's done? Sounds like Joe Biden. Yeah. Corn Pop's a bad dude. Mike from Arab says, I used to joke that where I grew up in Texas, that if ICE showed up at my high school, we would go to 6-man football. He said, Iberville's have to go to 7A football if any more show up. I'm saying. All right. Listen, the segment I've been in has been called In Other News. A couple things I want to make sure I pointed out to you. Speaking of the situation with the illegal immigration and all that, story that I've got here from justthenews.com came out a couple of days ago. Just so you know, and it's far more than this, and we know it. But Just the News points out that the Customs and Border Protection just announced new statistics that the official record now shows that the Biden administration has allowed in 12.5 million illegals, which is the most in U.S. history. In U.S. history. Says despite the claims that the numbers are lower at the border, which, you know, some of the encounters are lower right now. I get it. And I'm glad. This says the total number of apprehended illegal border crossers surpassed 10.5 million in July, with 2 months left in the fiscal year, which ends in September. That number excludes 2 million known gotaways. In other words, they saw them, but they couldn't get to them. Those who illegally entered and evaded capture, bringing the total number to more than 12.5 million. By the way, for perspective, 12.5 million is bigger than 45 of our states. I mean, we have 45 of the 50 states that don't have a population that size. Just keep this in mind. That is twice the amount of the population of the state of Alabama. More than twice. I mean, what are we, 5.1 million-ish, I'm saying right now? I think that's right. And you had more than twice the number of people in the entire state of Alabama come across the border illegally just since Biden took office. That is just epic, inexcusable, just unbelievable. All right, last thing I'll point out before we hit the top of the hour in other news. I don't know what's going on with foreign countries believing that they can just sentence people. I mean, these are countries that I would have thought before this had never happened. The United Kingdom being one. I lived there. I lived in London for 3 years. It was a life-changing time for me. It was something that I'll always be grateful for. I love England. I love the United Kingdom. But they are actually jailing people now for things that they say on their social media. Jailing them. Like, not small sentences either. So a guy named Wayne O'Rourke was just recently arrested by Lincolnshire police, claiming that he had said anti-Muslim things and anti-establishment things on his social media. I mean, at one point, basically, he said, get out on the street, people of Southport. Okay, so what he was, they're calling that anti-establishment. He had another one where he said, Sunderland, go on, lads. And I don't know what that even means in Brit talk. But bottom line is he was arrested and he was sentenced recently. I mean, that is happening. That's not Libya, right? That's not some third world country. That is happening in the United Kingdom. That is our greatest ally in the world, Great Britain. Good gosh. But then let's take another one. Don't forget that one of the things that came out of it, and I talked about this last week, that came out of this was law enforcement in Great Britain threatening that Americans might want to consider what we put on our social media, because they might even consider convicting in absentia and then asking for extradition. What? Yes. But now Brazil's all in. Brazil. Social media platform X, according to TheHill.com, will close its office in Brazil amidst a legal battle there with the court over a purported secret order to remove some posts from the site in Brazil. In other words, a judge issued a secret order, not wanting it to be publicized, saying that X had better take down some things and basically trying to do closet censorship. And X said, we're not doing it. And then they were being threatened by this judge as an organization. And they said, fine, we're closing our offices and we are out of here. That's amazing to me. All right, you guys, coming up next, the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.